Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
We're talking again.
My body's swimming.
Hi, I'm Paul Mitzi.
I'm Lucy Thomas.
I'm Brendan Levi.
And we are the Swapcast Podcast. Every episode, we watch an entry in the body swap movie genre and break it down for you. Unless Brendan and Lucy quit after this week. Because we watch the 2016 comedy Mama Boy, starring Stephen Tobolowsky and Gary Busey, where a high school student must hide the fact that he has become pregnant from his family, friends, and the school faculty. As always, we love to hear from our listeners, so slide into our DMs on Insta, send us an email, or chuck us a review on iTunes so we can get to 100 reviews and do an episode on Face Off already.
I'm going to rip Paul's face off.
So, on to Mama's Boy. Or Mama Boy, rather. This is the...
It all stays, no edits, okay?
This is the first fetus swap we have done for the show.
It's not even a swap.
Does this swap subgenre earn a place among the others that we have covered on the show? And in fact, do you feel like this should be classed as a body swap film at all?
No.
No, I don't. And I have a lot to say, and I can't wait to rap about this and have fun and love. But I need to say a million things before we start.
Yeah.
So the festivities can begin.
Okay. Hit us.
I just... Paul has broken me. This has broken me. I am irate.
The entire film, he is laughing with glee.
Yeah. And I mean, okay, so I'm going to be the fun police here and we're just going to say it and then we can move past it. But this was the most transphobic, homophobic, like, film that we've watched so far.
I know. Pretty cool.
I don't know. I don't know if you can class it as those things because it's so not.
I just am going to say, and we can just move past it, but trans men do have children.
Yes, but I don't think this film is about that experience.
No, but it's like satirizing it's like laughing at men being pregnant.
Yeah.
So it's 2016. This was. Yeah. They should know better.
Yeah.
It was very bad. Like, it was just, this was a fucking mess. This was a garbage fire.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now where I'm going to put this in the list. It's at the bottom. It is number 100. However many of these movies we've done, I will tell you right now that I'm sending it to the bottom of the line, bottom of the pile. Okay, so let the festivities, let the frivolities begin.
Brendan?
What was the question?
Does this deserve to be a body swap?
Is it a body swap?
And is this a subgenre that we should get into?
No, it's
now?
Not, Paul. You just really wanted us to watch this dumb movie.
It's a swap.
This looks like a piece of shit.
Can I just say, so we have done a double record today. I have watched the two films that we've recorded today. I have done 4 hours and 10 minutes of this shit today. Of watching these movies.
So we actually recorded our Halloween episode first, which was the Denzel Washington film Fallen, which went for 2 hours and 4 minutes. And this one went for 2 hours and 5 minutes.
I don't know. I'm forever changed.
What do you want to do?
This was the film equivalent of like Rebecca Black's Friday. Yeah. Like if that was a song, this felt like that as a film. Like how did this get made? Whose like little baby project is this? Do you know what genre this is? Fetus swapping is not a genre that we're going to see. That's not a thing.
Are we going to do Junior?
But... What was the one that had Denise Richards that was Christian?
Switched.
Yeah, this is that genre. Mm. So there.
Is it a Christian movie? Because I couldn't tell because it went.
It was.
It definitely was.
It was. Come on. It was anti-abortion, anti-contraception. It was homophobic. It was.
But then the dad character who is supposed to think is a good guy is like, I'm not one for religious rules.
But let
do
me rap
this,
about.
Do that. And then you end up just being a big doo-doo.
But let me rap about God forgives this and God does this and God does that. And there was never any mention. If this wasn't a film that was like deeply steeped in religious like funding and whatever, there was no mention of like, should we have this baby? Like, can we care for this child? Can we? Mm. And as the only birthing person in this group of people, I was so offended by this. Yeah. I have a lot to say. I feel like paralyzed with rage.
Look, I have a deep affection for films that are so bad they're good. And this film is very, very bad on every level. And I love, especially when films...
This isn't pretty cool. This isn't Velocipasta. This movie was serious. This movie took itself seriously.
But that's why I like the fact that it was so... like sincere.
You're psychotic. You are evil. You're a bad person.
It's just like watching a car crash. Like it's like, how many bad decisions can a director and a writer make in one film? And they make every single one possible.
The fact that it meant everything it said, that just erases it being good.
I don't know. Like, I put this on the same level, like Brendan and I watched another Christian movie recently, Assassin 33 AD.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a masterpiece.
Yeah. that went for a lot less, like the runtime was a lot less, and this is just probably, you know, saving grace of that one. Like, but I just kept thinking the editing in this film is so bizarre. Like, it's like they only shot two shots. So they could only use the one take and they couldn't edit that take because they only had one master shot of every scene.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Everything had to run its course.
Everything had to run its course and there were so many pauses and silences.
But then also there's like all these like weird gaps that feel like they're doing like they're like riffing. Given space to, you know, work with the characters or some bullshit like that. Yeah. Like, and it was just not funny. It was exhausting.
But I just kept imagining being in the premiere night when this guy,
you know, the
in
way,
a
you
packed
know,
theater yeah, yeah. and those silences and just hearing the silence
and
the whole
and tumbleweed.
Yeah.
You know, the way in the start, the principal did a thing at the assembly
mm-hmm.
and like he was trying to joke or get mm-hmm. the school like to clap and cheer or whatever and it was just like the school was just silent and like, we hate you.
Yeah.
That's what it was like to be in this room. It was like
and
dead like, air.
The principal, there's two characters, the principal and the nurse in the school who talked at such a snail pace. Like every word...
Don't do it to
had
us.
A gap. Like, that's literally the pace that she's talking at. And I'll put in a clip so you guys at home can hear exactly that. We're not exaggerating. They talk so painfully slow.
I could be charmed into becoming cougar for you, little lion cub.
You're out of my league.
Well... you'll let me know when you graduate to the majors.
the scenes with the nurse and the principal actually felt physically painful.
Okay,
to
so
watch.
We have to do, yeah. And I mean, this is a film that you love and you're advocating for. Just remember that. Just remember that. Okay, so you have to do the plot so then we can start talking about to just pick it apart piece by piece.
Yeah.
Just, what the fuck was the nurse like? Okay, do the plot. I got so much to say. 3, 2, 1.
Okay, so there's a kid and he's dating the preacher's daughter in secret and impregnates her, and so she doesn't reveal to the dad and get in trouble. He goes to his crazy scientist uncle and does an experiment to have the baby transferred into his body, and then he has the baby and everyone fat shames him and tells him he's a piece of shit, and then she leaves him also, and then he has the baby and forgives her in the end.
I mean, he did pretty well. That is the crux of...
Yeah.
That is what it is. Yeah. But, I'm...
But not only did he have the baby, he had twins.
Oh, yeah.
Twist.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I love the way, you know, it's like, oh, twins, that's crazy. It's like, well, actually, like, he was a pregnant person and had no prenatal care for the entire 9 months that he carried the baby. So it was like there was no scans. Nobody told him that he had...
Yeah,
twins growing inside him. He didn't take any vitamins. Like, this is so irresponsible.
All he did was read a book that looked like it was from the 60s about how to give a baby birth to a baby.
The scientist uncle who swapped the body in there at least offer to monitor.
Well, because
like, let's see how this goes and let's keep an eye on you and
well,
make
the
sure.
The answer to that question is he's not a scientist, is he? He's like the.
He invented a machine that swaps
like the
fetuses.
He's a psychotic uncle who's had like a mental break and is pretending to be a professor.
Yeah, the dad is just like, just go along with Uncle Jimmy's like lost
yeah, when
his
we're
mind.
Introduced yeah. to him, it's yeah. like, hey, where's your dad? I'm going to experiment on him.
But
like his dad just goes along with this. Like
the uncle,
it's
was-
like in Shutter Island when Thingy is a. cop that's lost his mind. You just have to pretend.
Sure.
The uncle was obviously like a nod to Brendan's favorite movie of all time, Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Did that anger your blood?
That was like gadzooks instead of great Scots and yeah. gigaflops instead of gigawatts. Like it was very like on the nose kind of parody of Doc from
there was so
Back
many
the
there's so many things. Like there was that and you know like a crazy best friend.
Yeah.
That made
the weasel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were more of them. Like
the best friend was so bad.
Yeah. But at least he was the only one I was like, yeah, I buy that you're a teenager in high school that just got plucked out of algebra and put in this movie. Like, you have had no acting experience.
I think the main kid is from a Disney Channel show, but everyone else, like,
very
much felt like locals.
I hope and pray that kid has had therapy for the shame, and like humiliation
that
it would be. It would be to just, you know, like, be drifting off to sleep at night and be like, oh, I was in that movie and people could see it. It's on the internet. Like,
but back to the uncle, like, so the crux of this film is that he creates this machine, I guess.
Yeah,
that,
he hot glues a remote control to a server tower.
Yeah, and apparently that takes a fetus and takes it from one body and puts it into another body.
Yeah.
We never see exactly how that works in
any
way.
Yeah, right.
Well, because, so what's the girl's name?
Lisa.
Lisa faints, and so we don't actually get to see the procedure because she faints and they just choose to do it anyway.
Unethical. Not to mention, he did this to a monkey before. Justice for Adam. That is, like, preposterous.
Yeah.
The monkey that dies.
Yeah, exactly. R.I.P. This is just... No.
Oh, loved
when
it.
They showed that monkey corpse. Out of all the things I expected to see in this film,
it was a monkey's corpse.
No, it was too sad.
This film, like,
by the way, like, it never even addressed the fact that they had sex.
Oh yeah, they completely like
not even said the word or like, yeah. How do you think this happened? Like, it's were like, you wearing a condom?
We've made mistakes.
Yeah.
We've made mistakes. Yeah.
You tell me that's not religious money. That's such a load of shit. It
yeah.
was like, I just want to know what the religious like denomination was that funded this film. Because
America's religion.
Yeah, but like for like fundamentalist Christians, this yeah. is pretty, this is too racist.
Yeah, but what about that assassin's, whatever you're talking about? That I'm sure, isn't that like...
Yeah, I mean that's another example of like,
but they don't care about sacrilegious. Yeah.
This is,
I care about violence and stuff. It's like,
but I feel like they're like, near enough is good enough. It's
I mean,
like,
that
if we're
film
reaching
shot all the disciples point blank in the head. With
I feel like they're like, if we're reaching an audience and getting a message out there, like it doesn't matter. They don't yeah. care how much they muddy the water. They just want to like ram their opinion down your throat.
Well, yeah, that's I know what you mean, because it's very much towing the line between like having a very gospel message, but then also has all these like sexual innuendo and like scenes of girls' butts. And
the villain is a pastor in a church.
Yeah.
And like going to church is seen as a negative thing.
Yeah.
So it's quite strange in that way. Like there's no like cool youth pastor that's like, come to my flock, children, and I'll accept you even though you're having a baby as a man. Like there's none of that.
Well, that's the dad, really. Like, he's the one who is like, oh, that pastor. But you know what? God's everywhere, and he's cool.
But, like, on a production value level, this film is just like, what the fuck?
Also, there's did this... we mention
yeah,
Gary Busey is in this film?
Do you think he just wandered onto the set? Because that's the vibe.
Absolutely, I do. Yeah, absolutely, I do. And like the audacity for everyone to be making fun of the guy that was pregnant for being fat when Gary Busey has the exact same build.
Body.
And yeah. even he was calling him a hippo. It's like, pot kettle the black much? Yeah,
the fat Chevy was sort of...
The fat like, phobia was...
Well, but the it's body kinda... image in this film is very warped. Because, like, before he's pregnant, this kid, like, you know, he's not awful, but he's just, like, your average run-of-the-mill skinny twink. And everyone's acting like he's the fucking muscle god. People are going and squeezing his arms and telling him how sexy and amazing
he
was.
Yeah, and
he
didn't have a rig at all.
Yeah, he like, just looked like your average teen, skinny, lanky teen.
I mean, he was like a bit Justin Bieber-y or something. But
yeah, he was very Disney Channel.
I would
yeah,
have said yes. Clay from 13 Reasons Why.
Not even. No, Clay's got
he
Clay's
wishes.
Actually built.
Clay's got that real skinny, wiry, fit arms.
Yeah. yeah
that's
yeah.
like, no high school, it looks like that.
Okay, Clay.
I can't believe the things
I mean,
I
who would?
But, yeah. So, and then once he gets
I know,
pregnant.
Clay took his shirt off once in the show, and I'm like, that kid would never be bullied in school.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Chicks would be throwing their yeah. underwear at him.
Yeah. And, like, have you seen Clay's band in real life? Like,
he has a band. Ooh, yeah, I bet it's really good.
Wallows, and they're actually like really good.
Oh, I bet.
They're not.
Yeah.
They are. Shut the fuck
okay,
up.
Okay, no, I wrote down, I bet as... Brendan loves this soundtrack. There was so much like pop punk. Like, yeah.
Why was that me?
You were shazamming Uber songs.
I thought I'd be kind, so kind as to make a playlist for our listeners of all the bangers that are on this track.
You mean like, so the main character's in a band and he's the song that he sings is terrible.
Yeah. And the lip sync he does like yeah. is.
But then later in the movie his phone rings and his own song is his ringtone. But yeah, back to him being once he gets pregnant and he is fat. Everyone in the entire...
Doesn't get fat, by the way.
Oh, yeah. He remains skinny, but then he has a pregnant belly.
Yeah.
And everyone in the town just becomes the cruelest pieces of shit to him. Like, they're all, like yelling shit at him, like, taking videos of, like, him eating.
And, like, even people that are, quote, unquote, overweight are doing this to him. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Is going on.
He even goes into a shop to buy clothes and that person is bullying
him. Oh, I love that. With the tux, the guy who runs the tux store is like, Like, this customer comes in, he's like, hey, how about I just riff some fat jokes on this guy until he leaves?
Yeah, he's like, my friend would like a suit. You mean this fucking hippo piece of shit? Yeah. And he's like, what the fuck is going on?
I would like a suit, sir.
But, like, no one in this film acts like an actual human being.
No.
Like,
no, it was like aliens talking the whole time. You know the way, like, all the dialogue had to completely set up the backstory and the whatever? I'm like... Yeah. Humans don't interact in this way.
Yeah.
Like, two people don't have a conversation like this ever. No dialogue was ever even anything close to natural.
Yeah, because the movie starts with this, like, really long sequence of, like, the scientist chasing after a mouse. I'm like, this is really going on, like, a long time. And then... It cuts to, like, inside the church. The main couple are, like, hiding out in the bell tower. And this conversation
just goes
on and on. Every time you think it's going to end, it just keeps going.
Like, the musical score will fade out. And then it will come back in. It's like, I guess...
There's too much fucking dead air here.
Run that track, baby.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But yeah, you're
also,
right.
I felt like it could... That's the start of that. Could have been a porn. It was like them hiding in the bell tower. Oh, and daddy's the pastor. And it was like, actually, no, we're never going to talk about how we have sex or do anything. We're going to, like, kiss for a millisecond. And then I'm going to say I have a hankering for something, and the camera just, like, pans away. It's like,
you're very right. The dialogue was very much like, it's nearly the anniversary of when we met. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
10 years ago, you were 7 and I was 8. And
it's like,
you
he was
did
there, bitch. You don't need to do that. Yeah, you don't need to do that.
And then he's like, I can't wait till we can touch in public. How long again? It's 8 months and 4 days. Why is that? Because I'm going to turn 18 then. Yeah, I can't wait. It's like, fuck, shut up.
And, okay, so how do we go through? What do we talk about? The quarterback looked 45 that was in high school. The nurse? What was the nurse?
Yeah, it was refreshing to have a female as the sexual predator.
Yeah, the nurse that constantly was trying to get the teenagers naked.
She looked kind of butch. Like, it didn't make, you know, like.
Yeah,
and she had, like, a Russian accent.
There's a thing where she, like, took her clothes off at the
school dance, and, like, she still had a job.
It's like, if she was, like, this sexy whatever, like the character made zero sense.
Yeah, they were playing her, like, I don't know the names of them. Police Academy. There's like I give up on this reference.
I think she was supposed to be like a Stifler's mum kind of situation.
Really? No. I was thinking of, I wish I knew people's names. The lady from Glee.
Sue Sylvester. Yeah.
Jane
Lynch.
Totally. There you go. Well done.
Yeah. But yeah, that the performance definitely.
Do you mean Jane Lynch though? Said a Glee character's name.
Yeah, no, I said Sue Sylvester Jane Lynch.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that you immediately had the name of her Glee character in your pocket. That was funny. Yeah.
Well, I watched fucking a lot of Glee.
I know you do, honey.
Oh, did you notice the scene? So when he first starts getting pregnancy symptoms, he's in science class and he's supposed to be dissecting a frog. And it's like fully a plastic frog.
No,
Did you notice the frog?
I missed it.
How did no one notice the frog? And he kept knocking it and it kept like wobbling. Cause
no.
It was... I can't believe you guys didn't notice
that. I was too busy writing down notes.
And I think, all the money did go to Gary Busey and
Stephen Tobolowsky.
Whatever his name is. Did you see the fucking banner at the school dance?
That it was like out of pen on white paper.
And it was like, it looked like that paper that comes out of a printer that has teeth in the corner. Yeah. Like, it was so cheap. We could make something better.
But see, like,
easily.
Every movie I watch of like American like dances and proms and stuff like that, like this to me, I'm like, oh, is this the reality? Is this what they actually look like? Like, they can't possibly look like the movies, right? Surely they're
just... Yeah, I think there's an in-between.
Stars gaff to a, you know,
Yeah, this was definitely, yeah. It can't be as shit as this, and it's probably not as good as, you know, like She's All That. It's kind of like in the middle. But I watched Bring It On yesterday, and just the stark contrast to like how that teen film was made in this is just like, my God.
Yeah, but I just can't believe you could even utter them in the same sentence. Bring It On features the most perfect creature known to man,
Jesse
whose
Bradford.
Name escapes me. Yeah, there you go. And this was a fucking pile of dog shit with flies and stink lines coming off it. This is, never felt this way. I think it might be the worst film I've ever seen.
Ever?
Yeah.
I mean, it's very bad. So you would say that The Room is better than this?
Yep.
Would you say
I feel like The Room was made
better.
By one dude who was like a real kind of
egomaniac
weirdo.
Yeah.
This was made like by a bunch of people. There would have been like meetings, studio. Like this wasn't self-funded or, you know,
I don't know.
2016, there's no excuse.
I have a feeling that this was probably a one-man show and he roped a whole bunch of people into it. I have that vibe to it. Surely a group of people could have not made this many bad decisions.
How did they get Gary Busey and Tobolowsky?
Well, if he's got some kind of religious like affiliations, maybe through that. I don't know. But that's the thing. Stephen Tobolowsky, he does a lot of good stuff. He is, like, I listen to his podcast sometimes. He's a highly intelligent person.
Yeah. What bet did he lose? He's got gambling debts,
like,
maybe?
He has really good taste as well. Like, he talks about the projects that he's done and he analyzes other movies. Like, why was he in this? Why?
Yeah, I agree.
There
we should,
are so many why questions.
Why? We should put him on the podcast.
There are so many why questions. Why? Like, why did the main character have a poster in his room that said music? Like, that feels like a prop from Pretty Cool to me. Like, how can that be serious? Yeah, you have nothing to say. And now there's like a big fight at the school at the sports game, and it was like literally just a bunch of boys kicking dust at each other.
But Paul, you thought it was really good, and you loved.
I didn't think it was
the fart jokes. Every time there was a fart, you just started laughing and laughing.
I actually laughed at the first fart joke because I thought of you laughing.
Yeah, right. You loved it.
And I just feel like you're happy that you caught him out laughing so immaturely so that you guys are even now. And it's just like, if you're trying to hide your pregnancy because, number one, like, you're dating the pastor's daughter and then you've swapped the fetus into live in your stomach cavity, like, where is it even? How is it even? Whatever.
The film said it's happened several times in history.
Why wouldn't you just buy a couple of baggy jumpers and a coat and a scarf and no one would see your tummy? None of the rest of his body got fat. It was like, there is an Australian woman who had all these pregnancies that she kept a secret, who's now in jail because nobody knows where any of her babies are. Mm-hmm. She literally, like, her family didn't know. She carried all her babies to term. Like, nobody knew. Like, it's easier to do than you might think.
Yeah, this kid is an idiot. Like, he chooses to keep playing baseball even though he knows he physically
can't. To teach
aerobics. Yeah, to teach aerobics, to play baseball. Like, even though he knows he physically can't, when he could easily get out of them by saying, you know, I hurt my back or anything. Like,
and also, like, the dumbest thing he ever did was date that girl because she's an evil piece of shit.
She is, like, literally the worst human I've ever seen in a
She's, like, a deadbeat, not paying alimony. Like, she is a fucking bitch.
He saved your body from having to... To, like,
carry this baby
carry
and,
this
like,
baby.
Be disowned by your very religious father. Yeah. And she, like, never even checked in with him at any time. They even had a conversation.
She broke up with him.
She ran away.
She broke up with him. Yeah. And then any time anything went rough, like, he got bullied, they tried to do an exorcism on him in church, she just runs away. Every fucking time.
Like, I can't even... It was like they, when they were doing the script, they're like, oh, we'll put something there. We'll put a bit of dialogue there. But it was like the day rolled around and they were like, oh, just run out the door. Like,
So the film has this kind of message. The message I think the film is trying to show us is motherhood is actually really hard, and we should respect women for giving birth.
I did not feel respected.
No, but that's what I'm trying to say. Is I think that's what the film is trying to
that
say.
That was its intent.
The only thing it did was present awful women. Like, there was not one redeemable woman in the entire film. There was the awful woman that at the dress shop who fat shamed him and mocked him. There was his girlfriend who abandoned him in every chance she could get.
And how else was his own mother was useless as well.
Yeah.
She was such a bad actress that they were like, don't give her any lines.
You could tell she was shit scared every time.
Yeah, and I just want to say, birth is natural. Birth is normal. Birth is not a joke. Being pregnant's not funny. Like, live your life. And if society needs to fucking catch up and stop making these movies. Like, even Knocked Up and all this shit. It's like, it's not a joke. And it's like...
Do you not like Knocked Up?
I mean, I loved it at the time, but once you've had a kid, like, it hits real different, and it's not a joke. Like, you know, it needs to be respected. That's how everyone comes into existence. Mm. Like, the narrative needs to change.
Yeah.
I am livid. I don't care that doesn't make me fun or whatever. Like, it's some bullshit. Imagine if I was like, by the way, I'm pregnant again. Which I am not. It would be amazing, though.
Yeah, because how awful would it be to sit through this film while pregnant? Yeah.
Can you imagine watching fucking Knocked Up while you're pregnant? Like,
well, actually, it's funny that my sister found out she was pregnant the day we had already gotten tickets to see Knocked Up opening day.
Yeah.
And that morning, she found out she was pregnant and she already had tickets, so then she went and saw Knocked Up that night with me. That was her introduction to pregnancy.
Yeah. Poor woman.
Yeah. So there's a scene where he really needs to go to the toilet, so he runs to the toilet from class.
And he just flops it out.
And, yeah, the bullies won't let him get through, so he just flops out and pisses all over the floor. But then the principal walks
in. Nobody even jumps back or anything. He's like, you're pissing. It's like, maybe get out the way then.
Then they have a full dialogue scene in the piss puddle. The principal comes in, also stepping right through it. No one acknowledges it. And then the principal starts sniffing like there's something smelling. And we're like, oh, he's finally going to acknowledge the piss. And then he finds a cigarette butt in the urinal and picks it out. Did no one at any point in the writing, filming of this scene, the editing of this scene think, there was a piss puddle on the floor?
This film was so sanitized. Like, if this movie was pretty cool, or it was like you were supposed to have fun with it, there would have been like the kids would have got piss all over them. You know what I mean?
I feel like they just messed up the blocking, and he was actually peeing into the urinal. You know what I mean?
He was in another room.
Strong you think his jet is.
How big is his dick?
Can't aim from that far away.
So there's like a really weird villain in this film, which is like the school nerd who spies.
Oh, we didn't even get onto it.
He spies on all the other students for the principal.
It was a little fucking narc. Yeah.
But like for no reason, because like what exactly was that achieving?
The hug at the end that he had with the principal, they were obviously having a thing.
He
was fucking the principal and giving him intel on.
That was their foreplay.
Please investigate which of their male students are pregnant. Yeah, it made no sense.
Can I just say as well, of all the movies we've watched, this was the most we could not, like, we try to be as like neutral as possible while we're watching, so that when we start recording, like, it's all a surprise how we feel and what we thought was funny and blah blah blah. Like, pretty cool. Velocipasta, like all these ones. No, we didn't watch Velocipasta together, did we? But no. Pretty cool. Like we giggled, whatever. But like it was nothing on this. It had a running commentary. We were screaming at the TV.
Yeah. You just kind of had to.
Brendan and I begged 1,000 times for Paul to tell us how much longer it had to go. I even Googled it and I was like, Paul, this movie goes for longer than the other one. Like, what have you done to me?
And this is the first time Brendan's actually begged for the film to stop. Like, actually was pleading with me to stop it and pretend that we watched the whole thing.
This has broken me. I don't think I can do this anymore.
Can I just say, Paul? Oh wait, sorry, Lucy.
Yep,
Paul. If I grew boobies, I'd let you slap them around.
Yeah, we need to revisit that. That guy needs to look inside and question why he felt that way. Like he's obviously concealing a secret from him, even himself, about what his sexual preferences are, and it's fine. But you need to fly the flag, buddy. Like,
yeah, because like for context, you know, they're discussing what's going to be happening to his body once, you know, he becomes more heavily pregnant, and he suggests that his boobs might grow bigger. And then, yeah, he's cute.
Which they do, by the way.
Well, they don't in the film.
Yeah.
But
in real life, really do.
Yeah. And yeah, the kooky best friend's like, well, if you do grow boobs, will you let me slap them around? And like, if that's his desire, there's plenty of guys out there with slappable boobs.
But also, like, I think that he actually has a fetish for pregnant men. Like, that's,
well, it is an actual
fetish.
Yeah,
of course it is. Mm. Yeah. And he needs to look inward and assess, you know, what that is. He doesn't need to examine it, but like at least be honest.
Mm. And I think a more courageous film would have explored that.
Yeah,
side.
So Christian film, just know that you put a little fetish like plot line in your sanitized movie.
Yeah, there is definitely fan fiction where that kooky friend is sucking off his best friend while pregnant.
To take a page from Paul's book though, I would defend this movie for being very pro abortion, because it is like in a world without abortion, like women are, you know, driven to go into basements of kooky, junky scientists to get their baby removed. So, you know, I think it's a real...
But nobody even uttered the word, Brendan.
The thing is, everyone in this film is very quick to accept this technology that swaps the fetuses. Like, I was thinking, okay, so this kid's found out his girlfriend's pregnant. Then he goes and tells her, my uncle's got this machine that swaps fetuses so I can have it.
What?
Do you want to come to this basement and he'll do it for you? And she's like, okay, let's go.
Just get this thing out of me. That's what,
like,
she was thinking.
Do you think it was like she was actually thinking, okay, this is all code for abortion and he doesn't want to use the word abortion. I'm just going to go along with it. His uncle's obviously a back alley abortionist.
No, I don't think that's what the... The context was, no. I think in this film's universe, she was like, cool, sounds good.
Because
you
even
can't
like,
say that this film was pro-choice.
Because
it was not.
Even like when everyone in school finds out, they just instantly, that makes sense.
Yeah, and just like as a tip, after someone's had a child or even twins, they don't want you to go get all the town to go to the hospital and fucking make a racket outside the room. Can I just
cheering them?
Yeah. I think probably people that have given birth just want to be left the fuck alone.
Look,
bit of space, bit of quiet.
I always say I appreciate a film that's shown me something I've never seen before. And I have not seen another film where a cis male gives birth to twins and then opens the hospital window to have an entire town cheer him on with placards congratulating him for giving birth to those
literally
twins.
Literally the day before, you guys performed an exorcism on this man. Mike, how have you flipped so quickly? Like, even the priest was like, I love you, to his daughter and the kid. It's like, you're a bad person and you're going to hell.
My favorite was the grandma in the wheelchair at the front of the crowd waving the flowers around. Like, as if she'd know what the fuck's going on. They're like, come over here and cheer with us. And then, like, the next day she finds out she's cheering for the...
It really did make me think of that other Christian swap movie we watched. Sweet. Where there were just so many background characters in the high school and whatever that you were just like, you are just a high school student. Or it like
everyone youth in group, this film.
Youth group, and we're like, woohoo, yeah, I'll be in this movie. Yeah. Like Rebecca Black and her friends in Friday.
Everyone apart from
Gary Busey,
Stephen Tobolowsky, and the main pregnant guy.
Yeah.
Had the stink of like pleb off the street. It's like you are.
I should know. We can smell our own.
We can smell our own. Like you obviously don't have any like camera training. Hmm. You're excited to be here. You don't know that you're in one of the worst movies ever made.
If the editor's listening, little tip. You don't have to play the entire song when playing a montage.
It was like everything was happening in camera. It's like they were playing the song like live in the shot. They were just like, well, how are we going to cut it together? No, yeah, no. Exactly. It was like fading out the lights. It was like literally they were just turning them off. Like right, it was like everything was and
this,
real.
And this had one of our favorite bad swap movie hallmarks. Montages followed by another montage.
Well, you got to fill that 2-hour block. What?
Yeah.
But this film is like so laboriously paced. It goes for so long, yet like it skips the first like 8 months of the pregnancy like that. It's like you think there'd be like a lead up like – where he starts to feel the effects and like there's so much potential there for story and comedy that they just skipped all past that, went straight to him having the giant belly. It's very like every choice of this film is bizarre.
Yeah. Never before in my life. I can't believe but these what I've
kind
witnessed.
Of but these kind of like so bad, you can't believe they were made.
No, but that's the room. That's the room. This is like, you know, what's his name? Wazoo? Tommy
Wazoo.
He's like from another planet. He is the biggest weirdo and he made the weirdest movie and was like just so blissfully unaware that, you know. And it costs like $5 million, whatever.
I'd love to know how much this cost, actually.
Yeah.
This just, it took itself so seriously. It had no...
The moments that took themselves the most seriously were the ones that, like, were the highlights for me. So there was two specific moments. There was one where Lisa, the girlfriend... arranges
a rendezvous at the church.
At the church, and she's like, I want the baby back. Give it, like, put it back into my body. And they have, like, this full dramatic blowout. But, like, and you can tell these actors think, like, this is my moment.
Yeah.
This
and the
is
score
my.
Swells.
Like, 2 years' time, I'm in, like, a Wes Anderson movie or some shit. Yeah.
Like, Oscar goes to pregnant guy in Mama Boy.
Also, I feel like she's like, I want the baby back. Like, I want to have the baby. And he's like, no. And she's like, okay, well, fuck you. I'm going to leave you in the dirt. It's like, if you cared about the baby, how come you never checked on it? He, like, falls over and you don't give a shit. Like, that she's the most evil character of any film we've ever watched.
Yeah. and yeah, the other amazing moment was that scene where the town is cheering them on and he is looking out the window with a tear.
Oh my God!
One single tear.
Did we not talk about
rolling
this?
Down his cheek. And then he fists up his hands and then crosses his arms and puts them over his chest.
It's like he like collectively. It's like he's like, he like draws the invisible like love. And well wishes he's getting from the crowd and like draws them inward. It was the strangest thing I've ever seen. And it was like, this is a fundamental church. That's like, you know, that big like
Hillsong.
You know what I mean? Yeah, Hillsong. It was that for sure.
I've never wanted this to not be a podcast, of this to be a visual medium more than now. Because I really want our listeners to see these scenes, but I will say, like, I don't expect them to sit through 2 hours and 4 minutes.
We can
of this.
Put some highlights up.
I can't even believe, like, a film like this that, you know, it's not a studio thing, whatever. I can't believe it went for that long. Like, these movies go for 72 minutes at best. Like, how did they do this?
And I think if
And more importantly, why did they?
Give this film to Brennan and I and fucking iMovie and we could turn this into a 70-minute film quite easily with what was there. There was so much unnecessary.
They've never heard
Absolutely.
Of, yeah, they've never heard of First Draft. They've never heard of Trim the Fat. Like, yeah, this
script needs to be
cut down.
And again, they don't know how to
edit
and the songs and any of that. That was, I'm blown away. I'm forever changed.
We should check that site. You know that site where people do fan edits?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you need a fan to do a fan edit.
Well, that's you then, Paul.
I will champion this film. Like, this is my new pretty cool. I need people to discover this. Like, you need, or else it just feels like it's not even real. Like, until enough people have experienced this and acknowledge that it exists.
I would do anything to save someone the mental anguish that would. So it's like, you're going to be this film's champion. Well, I'll be right behind you, like, protesting.
The only reason you were laughing your nuts off is because
you knew how mad I was going to be.
Yeah, you were just looking over at us and seeing how frustrated we were. Start rolling on the floor, giggling to yourself.
I know. I just really do wonder, like, who hurt you? Like, what happened that this is, yeah, it's like the anti-funny, but I just, what is wrong with you?
Should we get to hot or not?
I am praying for you.
I want my baby back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This isn't working, Kelly. It was a crazy idea to even begin with.
Speaking of crazy ideas, Lisa, I'm 8.5 months pregnant. You don't just switch a baby back and forth.
Well, you switched it with me.
Yeah, that was different. It was just a little speck then, and now it's a monster.
Don't you call my baby a monster. If anybody here is a monster, it's you, you crazy sci-fi experiment. You're breaking all the laws of nature, and I want my baby back.
Yeah? Well, you can't have it. I know my rights. Possession's 9/10 of the law, and I'm possessed, baby.
All right, now it's time for our favorite segment, Hot or Not. Take it
I
away.
I don't even want to fucking sing it. All I of am. Us. What was the song he sung in the movie? The Home Run or whatever?
It's a hit or something.
Is it like, you were a run-of-the-mill loser?
What?
The baseball song, it was like.
Oh, that
oh,
one.
Oh, my
I was
God.
About,
that it's... was knocked out in half an hour of someone with like a MIDI keyboard. Like, I can't believe how literal the lyrics were. It was astounding.
Are they a tutor or a boot? Are they ugly or cute? Tell me if they're hot or not. Ding. Everyone is beautiful in their own way.
Do we have a friend or foe song? Are they a friend or a foe? Are they...
Willem Dafoe? I don't know.
Stephen Tobolowsky as Reverend Weld.
Not.
Hot or not?
Not. Bad man. Evil man.
Yeah.
Not a hottie with a body. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm gonna. Sorry, Stephen. I know you're a lovely person in real life, but.
But you were in this movie, so.
Yeah, not.
I think you're a very attractive man, and you should come on the podcast and explain yourself.
All All right, so Gary Busey as Jack Dombrowski.
I just don't understand why he was. It's just the strangest thing to me. Okay, Point Break, Utah, give me two. Hot. Yeah. This movie, not. What the hell? Like you're saying, it was like he just wandered in and tried to steal like food from craft services, and so they assumed he was in the movie and gave him a costume and let him go at it.
Yeah. Okay.
Is he okay? Is he okay? What did you say?
I said he looks like a homeless man.
All right. So Sean O'Donnell as Kelly Hankins. It's weird that they gave the main character, who's a cis male giving birth to a child, a female first name.
Yeah, but I think Kelly can be a man's name. And also, I'm friend like Kelly, or following him.
Kelly Slater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slater?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a famous male Kelly.
Yeah.
Kelly Slater.
The surfer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know sports.
You called him Slayer.
I did not. I called him Slater.
That's what
all his laughed at farts.
All his friends call him Kelly Slater because he slays chick. That's a foe from me. Like, oh, actually, I don't know. He tried his best to do the right thing. I guess that's admirable, but something must be severely wrong with you to have dated that girl and to have forgiven her.
Like, I would say, yeah, like he, but like by his own admission, he is a very special guy.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
He's a bit of a lost, like he's a bit like a self-centered, but at the same time, like
actually, yeah, he's getting a foe. He had zero clue about the plight of birthing people. He's out.
But he was reading.
He's like,
up,
I can do it. Okay, in 10 pounds. I'm a little fucking dickhead. Nah, foe.
But all teenagers are little dumb idiots.
Yeah.
Not me. I was great.
By the way, thank you, everyone, for listening to the podcast.
I think teenagers they'd be like these geriatric millennials. I know you've looked up his age, Paul. I know.
No, I haven't. But in the Did You Know section of his IMDb, it says his trademark is a deep, husky voice.
when he sang the song, it was not deep.
I've got another tidbit about him that will make you hate him even more.
Mm-hmm.
He was a producer on this movie.
Well, you know the way I said he needed therapy, it's like, I guess not. He went in willingly.
Yeah.
So is this like a rich parents situation where
Rebecca
like...
Black for sure.
I'm gonna give him a friend. I as much as
he could he could sure use one, you're gonna need to be his
because
friend.
In the end of the day, I think it is still a pretty selfless act he did to birth a child so that his piece of shit bitch girlfriend doesn't get killed by her father. I think like a lot of guys would have been like, oh well, deal with it, or like I think he did a pretty good thing by doing that.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna give him a friend.
All right, Brendan, swing vote.
No, I agree. I know you hate that.
I said the same things as you, but he was ignorant and rude about the plight of birthing people. So, boo.
But he had to, because he had to evolve and he had to learn that it's harder than.
Or maybe
thought.
They could have just manned up and had a conversation about what actually their options were, or like learnt more about using contraception.
But that's not their fault. That's the
America's fault.
Yeah, it's what they've been born into.
Abstinence only. Yeah, this is true. It's a broken system. They're just living in it.
Dylan Riley Snyder as Milton, the snitch. The snitch narc.
In the movie?
Yeah.
Foe. Yeah.
In real life?
You couldn't. Brendan, look up a picture of that guy.
Look, I have to say, he was 18 when he filmed this. So I'm going to give him a hot or not.
Oh, really? You guys thought that he looked attractive in that photo? I thought he looked like a dickhead.
Oh, he's attractive. Like
It's like a different person to the person that was in this movie.
Look, as soon as I saw him, I'm like, he's an obviously a sexy guy that they put glasses on to try to make.
Yeah, but then why was there no payoff? Why didn't he take him off and like
wave his hair back?
Yeah, toss
I'm just saying it's bad casting, not that it's
yeah, and like terrible for his career because nobody knows that he's like a secret heartthrob.
Yeah, but he was clearly more attractive than the people bullying him, so I'm gonna give him a hot. But as a character,
terrible person.
He's
he couldn't have any friends. Like
But he did have a super cool car, you know.
Yeah,
that car was bad. I wouldn't ride it.
And what was
the
personalized number plate?
Dickhead. I don't know. I'm so mad.
It was like Snoopin' or something like that.
That's right. Snoopin'.
Yeah. He wears
a sign that says, I'm a snitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking not.
All right. Let's finish this on a strong one.
Ditto?
I forgot about Ditto. Michael Eric Reed as Ditto, the wacky best friend.
Because he was an absolute sex pest, and this is 2016. Like, I can't believe that character existed. That was like Corey, what's his name, in Dream a Little Dream.
It felt like
I was watching, what's it called? What's that movie that we just
any
watch
of
half
them.
Of them?
Yeah.
What's the movie we watch half of it? Date movie or no?
Oh, Not Another Teen Movie.
Yeah, it felt like a parody from Not Another Teen Movie. Like,
yeah.
Just a cliche 80s character who thinks,
yeah.
Like, spiking the punch ball, it makes you cool.
And he was in the aerobics class, like, completely creeping on the women while they were exercising. Like, not funny.
And what?
That behavior escalates into predatory real consequences.
Let's circle back to the exercise class, because what the fuck was that? All he was doing is getting him to lean
bounce,
on their left,
stretch. Yeah.
Left, lean on their left leg, 1, 2, 3. Lean on their right leg, right, 1, 2, 3.
Worst aerobics instructor
cahoots.
Ever.
And then at the end, they're like, you do the best classes ever. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give Ditto a foe as well, like piece of shit. Brennan?
Yeah.
And finally.
But also I was totally friends with people like that in high
school. Well, I hope the next generation of people are brave enough to say to their friends, I don't think that's cool behavior.
Brendan?
I told you I was the fun police.
I don't like how you act.
No, like I
there's many things we could say about Brendan, but he's not a sex pest.
Yeah. There we are.
Does he forget
other.
The name of every celebrity ever? Yes. Does he ever do his homework? No. Is he a sex pest? No.
Good work, Brendan.
Setting the bar.
Yeah. So let's finish with history's greatest monster, Alexandra DeBerry as Lisa
Foe,
Wells.
Foe.
Someone should have aborted her. Too far?
Yes.
I was feeding off your fervor.
Yeah, she is terrible in every way.
Yeah, I would never let her have contact with those children. Like, she's an evil person.
Yes. Yeah. Like, there's nothing redeeming about her.
Like, she came in at the end. It's like, oh, now everything's, like, not hard and, like, everyone's cool with it. Now I'll, like, be by your side. That's, yeah.
Yeah, like, hope we don't have any bumps in the road in our life together as we raise these
two children.
Yeah.
Birthed by a man, yeah.
I give it a year.
If even that, like, raising a small child is
hard. The first time one of those babies cries, she's like, bye.
She literally runs out again. And leaves him in the dirt with the two kids in the rain.
That would be a good ending. That would be a good ending.
I've never been a fan of religious rules. Do this, do that, do this, do that. By the time you're done, you're nothing but a big doo-doo. Look, we don't have all the answers, son. But I do know this. God, he has a plan and a purpose for you. And no matter what you go through in life, you need not be afraid, because all things work together for good. God's got your back. So do I.
Let's get to Opinion Swap, where we find some interesting reviews of Mama Boy from across the interwebs.
You're already losing it.
So this one's from Matt on Letterboxd. He gives it 0.5 star. And he says, they didn't show us the post-birth penis. 0 out of 10. This one's from Ape Kong, who gives it 0.5 star. This is the worst movie. Animal abuse by having the poor monkey in it. Don't watch it. You'll be a worse person after being in the same room during this insultingly extensive runtime.
Yep, I feel that 100%.
This one's from Emma on Letterboxd. She gives it 1 star. And she says, weird as fuck. Also, after I saw this, Tumblr started showing me a lot of MPreg posts. How do I make this stop?
Where are they using Tumblr? How old is this?
2016. So
2016. Yeah, Tumblr, oh, actually, around. That was in 2019 that she posted that review. So,
still, everyone was on Tumblr until, like, they took all the sexy stuff off. So, it was on. Like, people were there.
So this one's from Purple Owl 023, who gave it 0.5 star. And they said, why did I watch this? Why is it 2 hours long? Why is Gary Busey in it? Why and why does Dylan Riley Snyder only play characters named Milton? Okay, apparently.
Interesting.
I thought we should at least have
a different opinion.
One positive review, a second opinion. Just to completely rip off the other.
How did you find, you have to mine the, scrub the internet?
Well, it only has 7 reviews on IMDb, so you don't have to read that far in.
Did you go to, like, a Christian site that does Christian reviews of films? Did
that's what I thought you were going to hit us with.
The first review on IMDb is 1 out of 10, whack movie. So this one is from Psycho on IMDb. He gave it 8 out of 10.
Oh, a psychotic person loves this film? Interesting.
And they say, odd little film, but I liked it. Watched this tonight and wasn't expecting much from reading the synopsis, but just wanted a fun movie to kill a night. I ended up really liking it. The idea is pretty original and handled in an interesting way. Watching Kelly and what he went through as far as being embarrassed and even shunned, and all the physical changes he went through really drives home what young girls go through when pregnant. Somehow seeing it from the guy's point of view gives more sympathy for the girls. I think we just take things for granted.
Women love it when you say stuff like that, buddy.
I think we just take things for granted when a girl is pregnant. But watching a guy lose friends, have his peers whisper about him, start sucking at things he loves like baseball, it brings home the realities. A lot of these actors are not well known yet. Some even say that this is their first role, at least first listed on IMDb. And I thought they all did fine. The kid who plays Kelly has a really expressive face and does emotion well. I expect we will see him in more. And Ditto, he'll be playing the stoner guy in everything soon, no doubt. I was also impressed by the little brother. His acting was very natural, which is sometimes tough for young kids. The nurse's character was hilarious, and she played it well. No one was bad. That in itself,
as long as the movie,
no one was bad. That in itself is a pretty good feat for any movie. Production value was good. Sound and lighting on point. Music
person worked on the film. Absolutely.
Sincerely, the casting agent.
Music fit well. All in all, comes across as a larger budget film than what's listed on IMDb.
Which we need to find out absolutely right now.
Owen Busey. Random. Loved it. The only thing that bugged me, and it's no big deal really, and is why I didn't give it 9 or 10, was that I couldn't figure out if this was one of those Christian production movies or something. A few things, like when Kelly's dad is talking to him, really came across that way. And then the whole topic of the movie doesn't seem like it would be. I really don't care either way. I'll watch either kind of movie as long as it's good. Just kind of bug me.
You know, in like TV shows or whatever, where like people are being interviewed and they don't want to like do it anymore and they're like taking their microphones off and it's like that noise and they're like, I'm not doing this anymore. please insert that noise here. Like, the only reason I didn't throw the microphone and go over to the door is because this is Brendan's equipment. I don't want to fuck with his things, but I cannot go on.
Okay, so I've got the budget here.
Paul's trying to, like, move on so that she doesn't quit.
I've got the budget here, and I think there's a bit of a conspiracy theory involved with this budget, because the budget of the film was $699,999.
Mm-hmm.
If you flip that around, it becomes 666. This film was made by the devil. But yeah, I guess $700,000 this film cost.
How much, what do you reckon Busey's rate is?
$5.
Sandwich.
Meals. And accommodation. He's like filling up his pockets from the craft service.
Unless it was just like court ordered. Like
it was community service, yeah.
What do you mean?
I mean, morning sickness, muscle cramps, swollen feet, backaches, mood swings, breakouts of acne, and tender nipples. It says here that the breasts might increase in size.
You don't suppose I'm gonna, like, grow, you know?
I don't know. But promise me one thing.
No.
If you do...
Don't even go there.
You'll let me touch them.
Seriously, ditto?
Is that too much to ask from your best friend? If I had some, I'd let you slap them around.
You're hopeless.
Now it's time for tenuous recommendations, where we each recommend a movie, TV show, song, album, book, whatever that is connected to today's movie in some way. So I'll start. My connection is this film was called Mama Boy, and I'm recommending another film with the word boy in the title.
Water Boy.
The Water Boy, yes.
I already did boy the other day.
About a boy.
Yeah, could we guess?
No. So I'm recommending the 2015 film The Boy and the Beast, which is a film by Mamoru Hosoda, one of my favorite anime directors. This poster that's behind me is one of his films, Wolf Children, and he also did a film called Summer Wars. But this one is about a film. This film is about an orphan boy who then goes into this like mystical world and has to like compete in these tournaments, and it's like a really beautifully animated film and a lot of fun fantasy. Everything this film isn't.
I just don't understand how you can say that you love this movie when you like films like that.
Because
the duality of man, sir. I can't believe it. I'll never understand it.
This film, I'm acknowledging this film was terrible. This film is a bad movie.
I think you were dropped on your head when you were younger. You had something
I
with your
was.
Sense of humor.
My sister did drop me on my head.
Oh my god!
But
something with your sense of humor is well off.
You get it, Brendan.
I get it.
You get it.
Like, not this one. I was laughing more at your entertainment.
Yeah, that's funny.
Assassin 33. I can get there. I can get there.
Yeah. To me, the worst, if a film is genuine, like, in its intentions and fails so hard, that's funny.
One man's failure is another man's comedy.
Yes.
Whereas that, it just makes me feel uncomfortable.
That's funny.
British comedy.
Yeah, that's the funny. Yeah,
no, but British comedy likes being uncomfortable. It doesn't fail to be.
This, yes, I agree. I would put this on par with The British Office. Now,
I actually kind of hate The British Office, so, you know, it's about right.
Well, you understand.
All right, Lisa.
I don't like, what's his name? What's the guy?
Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, it's not for me.
What are you recommending that people watch instead of Mama Boy?
So, I just feel like, you know, pregnant people are just the butt of every joke, and that just like pregnancy is disgusting and all of this stuff. And, you know, there's just not many things out there that give you any hope. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even if it's not all about that stuff, it's like that your relationship's going to be terrible after, and that just like your married life is just going to be like drudgery and just hard and awful and whatever. So I'm picking a movie called Away We Go.
Mm-hmm.
Have either of you seen it?
I haven't.
So, do you know what it is?
I've heard of it.
So, it's John Krasinski and Maya Rudolph. Mm-hmm. Is it Krasinski?
Yes.
Krasinski. Yeah. And they play a couple who find out that they're pregnant and they've got like some weird family stuff or whatever. So, they embark on like a journey across America to try and figure out where they want to live and like how they want to live with their child. And they visit lots of friends and family and they just sort of have all these conversations and, you know, they're just feeling their way through like a really, you know, uncertain time. Or not uncertain, just like a time of your life that's just filled with so many unknowns. And they try and pick like a journey that's good for them. Mm-hmm. And it was written by Dave Eggers and his wife, Vendela Vida, who she's a an author as well. Mm-hmm. Like they both normally write books as opposed to screenplays. And I think they wrote it when they were pregnant with their first child. And, you know, they put all those feelings into the film.
Hmm. Sounds like a lovely movie.
Yeah.
Good recommendation.
I hate you.
Brendan, what do you got?
I am recommending the 1987 classic, The Cure for Insomnia. So it's a bit more of an experimental film. It's like this guy reading this poem out, and it's like sort of spliced with like heavy metal and pornographic images.
What's the connection?
Sorry?
What's the connection?
I'm glad you asked. This film caused me a lot of pain and took forever. This film sounds horrible and goes for 87 hours.
Have you ever even seen it?
No, but Paul might. So one day when we do a tenuous as well.
You can't make me watch an 87-hour movie.
Do it, do it, do it. How many of these movies have we watched? It would add up to 87 hours. You fucking deserve it. Eat it with a smile. Make jokes about it.
It's like
that's your best you yet, living Brendan.
In your favorite like genre, bad.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Eat it.
What's it got on IMDb?
Does a film that goes for 87 hours? I just like you to know that that is
how many days? Is
3
that?
Days and 15 hours. Yeah, 5.1. So it's middle of the road, I guess.
Well, that's actually pretty good. Like
this film is basically an experiment designed to reprogram biological clocks for insomniacs so they can sleep again. It's an experiment. It's not even a film.
It's like it's a torture experimental film. It's a torture device.
Have you ever seen a more pitiful sight? He's gone from hot to so not. From cool to fool. From super athletic to Mr. Pathetic. Well, Lisa?
Oh, from hunk to junk.
Nice. Ugh, freakazoid warning at 12 o'clock. Let's get out of here before he contaminates us. Pure awesomeness. This one's going viral.
So where are we ranking?
The bottom. I don't even look at the list.
Amongst the films we've watched for the podcast. So Lucia has said bottom.
Yeah. What even is above that?
So your current bottom at the moment is The Sex Trip.
Yep. I hated this more.
Brendan?
Well, The Cobbler was really boring. I'm sorry. Let me look.
Is The Cobbler your bottom?
No, it's not.
His bottom is The Christmas Trade.
Mm.
And second above Pretty Cool. Oh, this is tough.
Come and join us, Brendan.
The bottom.
I'm putting it.
Please don't validate Paul in any way. I beg of you.
I'm putting it between. Oh, it's so tough. Christmas Trade or Mama's Boy. Oh. Which one was Christmas Trade again?
that was the one with
the two brothers, or
no, that was Christmas Swap. Christmas, okay. Christmas Trade was
the waitress,
the ball. Ones.
Oh,
yeah. All right.
Are you sure?
I think so. Yeah.
All right. I'm putting it between A Christmas Trade and nothing else because it's bottom of my list, baby.
Yay! Woo! No one even wants to hear what you think, Paul.
I'm putting it above Being John Malkovich. This is very hard for me. Like, as you know, I previously put Pretty Cool.
Yeah, you have. There's two sides of your brain. There's like things that like good things, and then things that like bad things. And how do you never the two shall meet? Like, how do you put them in the same list?
Yeah, it's so hard. It's so hard.
Paul, if we weren't here, you wouldn't have enjoyed this as much.
Yeah, it's the true experience of watching it with you guys.
Yeah,
made me enjoy it so much.
Oh,
but I had that experience, so now it's part of it. So,
would you watch it again
with other people?
I feel like he's going to.
I feel like in my future I will be watching this film again. I have that in my bones. I feel that. I am going to put it in between Pretty Cool and Little.
You oh like it more God. Than you Pretty
put,
Cool.
You put it above Little.
I put it above a lot of really good movies.
Piece of shit on the ground.
Because, and I'll give the explanation.
I don't even care.
It is a terrible movie. I'm not saying it's not a terrible movie, but I, you know, I've had like a pretty stressful week. And
oh, you have you?
And I laughed a lot in this movie. I laughed till I cried.
Yeah, at my
and
expense.
And I treasure that.
At my expense, you laughed.
So that's what it is. I'm sticking with it. All right. So next episode, we've already revealed that we've already recorded it. So no lying.
What is it?
We know what it is. It's the 1998 Denzel Washington thriller.
Halloween.
You know, Halloween. Though maybe we should have done this for Halloween. It was horrifying enough.
It truly was. It was a nightmare.
So, yeah, this is a film that we've already watched, so we're not going to tell you what we thought of it, but it stars Denzel Washington, John Goodman, Donald Sutherland, James Gandolfini, and it's about a detective that realizes that the serial killer he's pursuing may in fact be a body-swapping demon. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's, again, 1998's Fallen. Remember when you guys were complaining about the running time of Fallen?
Yeah, because it was literally 1 minute less than this.
But it's amazing, like, that two films with essentially the same running time feel so different in length.
No, they both felt very long.
You felt the length in Fallen like you did in this?
Sure did. Oh, no, it not to the same extent. But yeah.
Can we add this? This is spoilers.
I did half a day. This was half a day's work. It went for more than 4 hours of watching. That's half a day at work.
But maybe like one day someone important will listen to these episodes and then something great will happen to our lives.
They're going to get someone. The people from Mama Boy are going to get someone from like the Christian.
Lobbyist to sue us.
No, to fucking come and murder us.
Yeah, put a car bomb. Don't do that, guys. It's not Christian. If you do it, we'll encourage other people to have babies.
What?
Man,
that's what
babies.
They want.
Not in the wrong bodies, Brandon.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. So this is my time in the podcast where I remind you, if you haven't reviewed us on iTunes, you are a piece of
Paul
shit.
Paul Mizzy on the ground. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, but I also, if you don't want to because Paul doesn't deserve it, that's fine as well.
But don't you deserve it? Don't you deserve it?
All my pain and suffering.
Yeah. Like, you've gone to all this effort. You've tortured
time
yourself.
Time away from my child.
She's abandoned her child.
This is me pulling the mic off officially. Stop the cameras. Stop. I've had enough. I want to go home.
Bye.
I was Lucy Thomas.
I was Brendan Levi. I thought Paul usually says his name.
Yeah, but it was funny. Lucy did the mic drop. So I said bye.
Bye.
See you. Bye. The Swapcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Too Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.